Good morning, Rabbi Yisrael. Our limud of Sefer Chofetz Chaim is as a schus for refuah of Yosef Dovei Chaylish to have a refuah b'soich shol choyli Yisrael. So we were learning yesterday that we were said that there are three madregas, if you like, in Rechilus. One madrega is when you speak stam Rechilus. A tells B a story about somebody else, about C. And then you've got a story where A tells B about C, but he says, and you know what? I would even be prepared to tell you over this story about C right in front of C's face. Now that makes it even more believable. In case a regular Lashon Hara, you can clear, will he believe me, won't he believe me, does he accept, doesn't he accept, he is Mekabel Lashon Hara, he's not Mekabel Lashon Hara.
Somebody's ready to say something in front of somebody's face.
That already indicates that it's got to be true, probably, because otherwise he wouldn't dare say it in front of his face. You might say something behind somebody's back, yeah, not knowing that he can't answer back, so to speak.
If you say something in front of somebody, that's not Lashon Hara. It's a different category.
No. I'm telling you, right? Now, if I tell you privately, yeah, about something that Dr. Harris did. Yeah, then you might believe me, you might not believe me. If I then say to you, and you know what, this is so true that I'd be quite happy if Dr. Harris comes along and I will say it right in front of his face.
It doesn't matter, it's yes or no.
Well, it's not yes or no, it's a question of what degree is the Mekabel Lashon Hara going to believe? Right? The more daring you are, the more open you are about it.
Yeah,
you could be disproved, because then he has the opportunity to respond and to say no. Yeah,
it's still not engaging with it's going off track. If someone says I'm prepared to do something, okay, but you're not.
We're trying to think in the minds of the listener.
Yeah.
The listener is going to find it even more believable because because I say I'm prepared to say it in front of him. And Kol Shekein, if I say it actually in front of him, he doesn't respond, yeah, does that mean that he agrees? Not necessarily. He might not be responding because he doesn't want to get involved, because he knows that I'm not going to take any notice of him. There might be 100 reasons why he doesn't respond. But nevertheless, you are more likely to believe the story because I told it to you in front of him, and he done. The Chofetz Chaim refers us back to the Hakdoma that he gave to Sefer Chofetz Chaim at the beginning, when he goes through all the Essen and the Lavin. And when he goes through all the Mitzvot Haseh and the Mitzvot Lo Sase, and Mitzvot Lo Sase Yud Beis Yud Gimel, when he goes through, I think there were 17 potential loisases that a person might be over if he speaks Lashon Hara in one situation or another. Yeah, so he goes through a scenario. It's very interesting because I always think to myself, the Chofetz Chaim lived in a little village, I think. I mean, I've not been to Radin, but I don't think it's a big place. Yeah, and he was sort of cocooned in his study, and he was learning Torah from morning till night. How did he know exactly how people interact with each other, how regular balabatim and regular sinners, how they behave? But he seems to have known everything. He brings down a scenario like this. Let's take the scenario. We'll start it off with the story that we were discussing yesterday. So Rabbi Reuven got up at the chasna, yeah, and made a terrible drosha. Okay, the Dvar Torah wasn't appropriate, the things that he said weren't appropriate, people were bored, they made a lot of noise, they had to keep on shushing them, he kept on threatening the ladies, they better be quiet or else, etc. It was a real, disastrous drosha. Yeah. Okay, and Shimon was there, and Shimon heard. I'm trying to remember who's who. Yeah, so Rabbi Reuven, he's the speaker, yeah, and Shimon the Shomea. Yeah, so Shimon's the one who listened to it. So Shimon's chatting to Levi, who happens to be a friend of Rabbi Reuven, and says, you know, your friend, are you today's speaker? No, sorry, we're waiting for a speaker. Oh, he's here. Okay, fine. Yeah? So, okay. So Levi happens to be a friend of Rabbi Reuven, and he meets Rabbi Reuven, his friend. He says, by the way, he said, I heard from Shimon that you spoke last night at a chasna, and that you were an absolute disaster. Yeah. So that people were cringing, yeah, etc. So now Rabbi Reuven's going to get very upset. Yeah. So the Chofetz Chaim is going through a whole scenario of who says what, who replies to whom, and how many Averis we're going to be over along the line. So we'll carry on with the story tomorrow, and we'll have some more Averis tomorrow. I don't know what happened to Ronnie.
Oh, I think Ronnie had somewhere to go. He wanted to drop off.
He probably had to go somewhere, so he left what he wanted to.
Ronnie probably came here to leave the bag because he's got a meeting or something. I know the way Ronnie.
But where's the camera?
Oh, look at the.
Okay, we'll start without that. You have a topic.
Just says partial theme. The significance behind Rivka's presence.
Presence as in
no,
presence with a C
of a matonis. The significance behind the presence Rivka's matonis.
Matonis, okay, fine. Okay, Torahway, Northwest London, Yud Tes Mar Cheshvan, 20th of November, Rav Shimon Gurevitz Shlita, the significance of Rivka's matonis.
And Yezev Avrom is sent to the Shlichas to find a wife for Rivka. To find a wife for Yitzchok. Rivka displayed a tremendous dedication to Chesed. She went backwards and forwards, the young bull, backwards and forwards, the well, to give drinks to the camels, and then again backwards and forwards in the presence of 11 grown men. And yet she pleasantly gave them however much water was necessary. Yezev Davron realized that this was a fitting wife for Yitzchok, and he gave her a couple of presents, a couple of matonas. Vayikach ish nezem zov, beka mishkoloi, a nose ring that weighed half a shekel, beka is half a shekel, two bracelets, asora zov mishkolon, they weighed 10 gold shkolim. Rashi tells us as follows, that there was significance behind these presents. Beka, says Rashi, the weight of a half a shekel, that was a remes to the shkolim, that ultimately the half shkolim, that ultimately Klal Yisrael were going to give. Ushnei tzmidim, the two bracelets, the word for bracelets is tzmidim, remez lishnei luchois metzumodois, that was an indication to the two luchas that are metzumodos, that are linked, that are joined together. And then that soros of mishkolim, they weighed 10 pieces of 10 gold shkolim, which was keneged aseres hadibras. Now what we'd like to try and explain today is as follows. We can understand that Yitzchok gave Rivka presents that indicated Kabbalah Satoira, Luchas, Aseres Adibras, because this was to show Rivka that if you marry Yitzchok, ultimately you're going to be the mother of Klal Yisrael who will receive the Torah. But Smidin corresponds to the word Mitzumodis, joined together. What's the significance of the fact that the two Luchas were joined, were a pair, were coupled together? What's the significance that lies behind this? It seems to be an important part of the lesson, what lies behind this. I'd like to explain this based on a vault that the Be'er Yosef actually says in this week's Parsha, but I'd like to elaborate. Parsha's Kisisa, which is the Parsha of Nesinas Haluchas, the Pasuk, actually, in a few places, when the Pasuk speaks about the word the luchos, the word luchos is written chosa. The word luchos is written without the vavs. And Rashi says as follows. Rashi says, luchos chosa ksiv. Find it in a second. In Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Ches. Rashi says, Luchos Chosek Siv, it comes to teach us. Luchos Chosek Siv, Lelamed, Sheshneim Shovas. In other words, the Vovs are missing. The Vovs are always what is added in order to make a word plural. Luchos Lachas, without the Vovs, Ksiv, Shoyushteim Shovas indicated there was something singular about the two Luchos, they were both equal. What's it mean they were both equal? The two Luchos were equal. Had different psukim written on them. What's it mean they're equal? You can actually bring this out in a different way as well. We know that the two seirim that were brought on Yom HaKippurim had to be shovin b'mara b'koim over domin. They had to be identical in look, in stature, and in value. Where's this learned from? It says the Gemara as follows. If it would have just said seire izim, we would have known there were two, because miut rabim, shnayim. Why is the word shnei added? It's unnecessary to teach you that they're exactly the same. If we have a look at the psukim in Parshas Kisisa there again, you will see that we speak about shnei luchos oedus, or shnei luchos avonim. Now the word shnei over there is also superfluous. Luchos oedus in Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Yud Ches, or Luchos Avonim in Perek Lamed Daled Pasuk Aleph, both in Parshas Kisisa, would have meant that there were two, because Miut Rabim Shnayim. Why is the word Shnei added? To teach us that they have to be, that there's something identical about the two, there's a common denominator between the two. What's this mean that the two Luchos were Shoves, were equal, that there's something identical about the two? Now we know, we're taught, that the two Luchos on the first of the two, we have the first five Dibris, which are Benodom Lamokoim, and the second of the two is that has five Dibris, which are Benodom Lachaveh Anich Hashem Le'yeh Le'sisa, and even Kabbalah Yisvich Ve'Yisimecha Huk Shekvoidem Lekvoid Amokim, and the second of the Luchas carries the Silsof Le'sinof Le'signa, which are all Mitzvahs Benodom Lachaveh Rei. Based on Akim in Shai Yisraelis Perikud Beis points out something very, very interesting. If you have a look at the first five Dibras, you'll find the Shem Hashem mentioned in each of the Dibras. First five Dibras, you'll find the Shem Hashem mentioned in each of the first five Dibras. You look at the second five Dibras, you won't find the Shem Hashem mentioned once. Says the Beis Elikim, the Mabit, Sofar Yishoinim. Why is this? Because the first five Dibras were representative of Mitzvahs Ben Odom Lamokoi, therefore the Shem Hashem is found throughout. The second five Dibras is Ben Odom Lechaveiroi, not Ben Odom Lamokim, therefore the Shem Hashem isn't mentioned at all. In fact, the Beis Elikim goes a little bit further. We know, and we might speak a bit about this later as well, that the Ksav of the Luchos went right through the tablets. Right through. Now, the final Mem and the Samach, the center had nothing to hold them in place. If it went right through, there was nothing to hold them in place. Says the Gemara, B'nes Hoyu Oimdim, the middle of the final mem, and the middle of the samach stayed in place miraculously. Now, says the Beis Elikim, if you have a look, in the first five dibras, you'll find multiple final mems and a couple of samachs. In the second of the five dibras, you will not find a single final mem and not a single samach. The final mem and the samach indicated the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. In the midst of Ben Odom Lamokim, the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam is represented throughout. But the five dibras which are connected with non machaveiroi, they're the mitzvahs that are pertaining to us with our fellow man. The presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the obvious presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, is not there because there's a mitzvah ben odom lechaveiroi. The lamed chain shavus. The Be'er Yosef says that when we speak about the fact that they were equal, what it means to say is as follows: that ben odom lamokoyim and ben odom lechaveiroi, the two luchas carried equal importance, equal significance. Ben Odom Lamokoyim is vitally important, and Ben Odom Lechaveiroi is vitally important. They both carry equal importance. There's two facets of Torah that carry equal importance. And that's why it says, Shnei Luchos Oedus. Shnei Luchos Avonim, the Shnei comes to indicate that they are equal. And I'd like to bring this out from various places. We find in Parshas Mishpotim, Pei Kaftal, Posuk Vov, but Maimed Har Sinai, korbanos were brought, It says Vayikach Moshe Chatzi Adam. The dam was split in two. Half the dam was sprinkled on the Mizbeach, and half the dam was sprinkled collectively on Klal Yisrael. This was part of the bris, the covenant that was made in advance of Kabbalah Satoyah. Rashi already brings down the Medrash. Mi bo v'cholkoi. It's impossible for us to take a vessel of blood and split it exactly half down to the drop. Mi bo v'cholkoi. How did Moshe Rabbeinu manage to get it exactly half? Malach bo v'cholkoi. A malach came along and split it. And the question is asked, why did it have to be exactly half? As long as there was enough blood to sprinkle on the Mizbeach, and there was enough blood to sprinkle collectively on the arm, you had your bris, you had your covenant in place with the necessary zerikas, why did it have to be exactly half? So Rabbi Yitzchak Kuttner, Zechzad Gavroch, as follows. The two zerikas were representative of the two chalokim of Torah that they were about to receive. Beinodom Namokoim and Beinodom Nachaveirim. The zerika on the Mizbeach was representative of the mitzvahs Beinodom Namokoim. The collective zrika that was done over Klal Yisrael as a whole was representative of the chelik of Torah, which was Bein Odom Lechaveiroi. Malach Bo V'cholkoi was to teach Klal Yisrael that they're of equal importance. One shouldn't make the mistaken belief that Bein Odom Lamokim is of absolute importance and Bein Odom Lechaveiroi is a nicety or faket. It's not like that. The two facets of Torah carry equal importance. The zrika on the Mizbeach, which represented Bein Odom Lamokim, and the collective zrika on the own, which represented Bein Odom Lechaveiroi, were of equal importance. Mi bo v'cholkoi, malach bo v'cholkoi. The Arayin Bris Hashem was the receptacle for the luchas. The luchas were placed in there side by side. Now the Arayin was an oblong object, and generally speaking, when one carries an oblong object, it's normally carried lengthways. It's the simplest way to carry it. It takes up the least room. That's the way an oblong object is normally carried. Now, if you look at the structure of the Orem, it's evident that the Orem was carried actually widthways. And the question is, why is that so? I once heard as follows. The two luchas were lying within the Orem side by side. Bein Odom Lamokoi, Bein Odom Lechaveiroi. If it would have been carried lengthways, one of the luchas would have come before the other. But they're of equal importance. How can one go before the other? The arm was therefore carried widthways, which meant the two luchas were being carried side by side to indicate the fact that they're of equal importance.
I'm sorry, how were they put into the arm?
They were put side by side. Side by side. They were laying in the arm, side by side. Lying down flat, side by side. And so if the arm would have been carried lengthways, one would have been before the other. I heard a very, very similar vote. Sorry?
I understand. It goes forward. They're side like this. They go forward.
Now look here. It's lying side by side. So if you carry this way,
yeah,
that one's before that one.
Oh, I see.
If you carry them like that, they're side by side. I heard a very similar vote. We're taught that the luchas were mizeh umizeh heim ksuvim. The ksav went all the way through. Right through from side to side. We mentioned this earlier. And there was a tremendous ness. The other side, the ksav should have been back to front. And yet it was readable both ways. So the Rebbeinu made a moedika ness, that although it went from side to side, it was readable both ways. Now, no ness is done without a purpose. What was the idea? What was the purpose behind this? I once heard as follows. Two tablets of stone, two luchos, five dibros on one, five dibros on the other. Which side is more choshev, the right or the left? We know the right. Which set of dibros do you put on the right? They're of equal importance. The ksav went right through and could be read on either side. So on one side, the Bein Odom Lamokim was on the right. On the other side, the Bein Odom Lachere was on the right. The idea of the ksav going right through and being able to be read both ways is in order to accommodate this idea that Bein Odom Lamokim and Bein Odom Lachere carry equal importance. It's by the ksav going right through and being readable both ways. Benonu Amoka was on the right on one side, Benonu Chaveh was on the right on the other side, to indicate that they're both equally important, that they're both absolutely vital to our existence as Torah true Yidden.
Wouldn't that mean that the Benonu Amoka and the Benonu Chaveh on one luach were back to back?
No. On one luach, you had the Ben Odom Lamokim, which facing this was readable like this, facing that was readable like that. On the other luach, you had Ben Odom Lachaveiroi. And therefore, if you think about it, Ben Odom Lamokim on one side was on the right, and the other side, Ben Odom Lachaveiroi, was on the right. Right? Going right through. So something very, very fascinating, Beis Elokim. Mabit. Statement Shai Yisrael Spirikul Beis. Mabit says as follows. There were 620 letters in the Luchas. 620 letters, Kiminyan Kesa, Tariq Mitzvahs, and the Sheva Mitzvah Nech, or the Sheva Mitzvah Rabbonon, corresponding, each one corresponding to a different mitzvah. Now, if you add them up, you'll see that the first five Dibras contain 533 letters. The second five Dibras contain 87 letters. So Beis Elokim said, how did this look? On one side you had a Langa Megillah, and on the other side you had a very, very short inscription. How did it look? So it looked a bit unbalanced. So the Beis Elokim as follows. He says, by me is Borer, he says, that the Ksav Luchas, on both Luchas, started at the same point and finished at the same point. Even though one side had 533 letters, and on the other side 87 letters. How can this be achieved? Must be, he said, that the Tzad Ben Onu Chaveri, the letters were larger. And that way, the Ksav could start and finish at the same point.
Why couldn't it be bigger spaces between each?
It could have been bigger spaces in theory. It probably wouldn't have looked great. It probably would have looked better with the Ksav being bigger. It's possible. He says that the Ksav on Ben Onu Lamokim was smaller than the Ksav Ben Onu Chaveri. So he says, why was this so? Beis Elokim says as follows. He says, you should know that Ben Odom Chaveira is as important as Ben Odom Lamokim. But people carry the mistaken belief that Yiddishkeit is all about Ben Odom Lamokim, and Ben Odom Chaveira is a very pleasant way to behave, very commendable, but it's not as essential as Ben Odom Lamokim. So he says that the Ibn Hashem was Masavav that the Sab Ben Odom Chaveira should be written in Grace Oasis, Kiddush Levon Oasis, in order to impress upon Klal Yisrael the importance of Ben Odom Lechaveira. It's exactly the same, they're both equally important. In fact, I saw a fascinating thing once, I think it comes from Tikkunei Zohar. V'ahavtes Hashem Lekecha, that is, Ahavas Hashem Ben Odom Lamokim. V'ahavto Recha Kumoicha Ani Hashem, that is Ben Odom Lechaveira. The Gematria of Ahavtes Hashem Lekecha is 907. The Gematria of Ahavta Recha Kumecha Ani Hashem is 907. Both of them carry the same Gematria, which indicates that they're equal, that they're Shavas. In fact, I once heard, Bereishis, Bishvil Torah, Shenikra Reishis, the world was created Bishvil Torah, and as the Gaon says, everything is indicated to either in the word Bereishis or the first Pasuk or the Sefer, depending on which version the Gaon you look at. The gematria of the nister of the word Bereishis. Nister, I mean, base which carries the numerical two, that is the nigla. The nister of the word is the yud sof, base. Base, yud sof. The nigla of the word base is yud sof. So the nister of the word base is yud sof. So the nister of the word base is 410. And if you take that right through, the nister of the word base, that's 410. The nister of the word reish, which is 310, and you go through, Tof is actually Tof Alevov, you work it out, the gematria of the nista of the word Bereishis is 907. B'shul Teresh Nikoreishis, the two facets of Torah, V'ahavta Hashem Lekecha, and V'ahavta Recha Kumoicha Ani Hashem. That's actually the gematria of the nista of the word Bereishis, you can work it out, but it does work.
Can I just ask, where did the people ever see the Luchos?
When they were given.
And then never again.
Well, they were kept in the Oran, so generally speaking, they didn't see them. But I assume that the Mesiris was given Midoir Doir. Mesiris given Midoir Doir. Says the Be'er Yosef, this is what Yitzchak Avinu was trying to teach Rivka, and trying to indicate to Rivka
when he gave her the presents. And that is what lies between Shnei Luchas Mutzumotas. Rivka demonstrated a tremendous madregim binodim lachaveira. Unbelievable. There's something missing. She had perfection binodim lachaveira, but binodim lamokim was something she was lacking. She didn't come from a house of Torah. She didn't come from a house of avoida. Lovan and Basuil was a house devoid of spirituality, devoid of ruchnias. So he gave her shnei tzmidim kineged the shnei luchos mitzmodes, the two luchos which are inextricably linked, the two luchos which are joined. You cannot have one without the other. They both carry equal importance. Rivka, you've got one of the luchos beinodom lechaveroi, but that as of itself is not enough. You need the shnei tzmidim, the shnei luchos mitzmodes, and by marrying Yitzchok, you will then gain and attain the second of the luchos, the dargo beinodom lamokim. That's what lay behind the shnei luchos mitzmodes, the shnei tzmidim. I'd like to add something else that the Be'er Yosef says. We spoke about the shnei tzmidim. The other present was a nose ring, which weighed a beka, which weighed a machtzis achatzia shekel. It's not that long ago since Sukkos. We know Sukkos, we take the arba minim. Esrog, we're told, and we know has tam for reach. Lulav has tam without reach, that das mav reach without tam, and the arovas have neither. Medrash tells us as follows. Tam is keneged toira. Binodom namukim. Reach is keneged maisim toivim, binodom lechaveiroi. So lulav has, it represents those people in Klal Yisrael that have both tam v'reach, bin betoira and masim toivim. Lulav has tam v'loi reach, toira without masim toivim, and adasim has reach without tam, masim toivim without toira. So we know that what indicates masim toivim, the indication of benodim l'chaveroi is reach. Rivka had shleimus benodim l'chaveroi, but she didn't have benodim l'mokim. That's indicated by reach, and of course the eva in the body, which we use for reach, is the nose. So he gave her a nose ring, beka l'mishkolei, beka, the weight of beka is machtzis. And he made a nose ring out of it. To indicate, reach, which indicates maisim toivim, is a machtzis. You have a machtzis. But there's no completion there. There's another machtzis that you need, which is the machtzis of benodim lamokim, which is the machtzis of Torah. By marrying Yitzchok, you will then be mashlim, the machtzis, the beka mishkoloi, the machtzis that you have already attained, and then become an isha shlema, have a shlemas. May we all be zoicha to attain perfection, both in benodim lamokim and benodim lechaveroi.
Sorry?
Machtzis
was the right?
So what was the other?
She was only a half. She was missing half. What was half?
She only had a half.
What is the half of Benon Lamokam? What half?
Well, if you've only got a half, you're missing a half. What's half you're missing? A half is always a half of a half.